Let's turn to Numbers chapter 14 this morning. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Begin in verse 1. We'll read just a few verses and then we'll take a thought from verses 3. And verse 4, I believe it is. Verse 2. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 14, said, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search is an exceeding good land. Verse 8 says, If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land, and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the opportunity to be in Your house this morning. Lord, I pray that You'd help us for just a little bit, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, God. Lord, I pray that You stir our hearts this morning, Father. And Lord, we thank You for the songs that's been sung, the Sunday school lessons that's been taught this morning, Lord. I pray now that You'll help us for just a little bit to be in Your house. If there's anyone here or watching by the way of the webcast this morning that's lost, Lord, I pray that this might be the day, this might be the hour that they see themselves and realize and they need You as their Savior, Father, and turn to You today, Father. Have Your way. We love You in Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to look there at verse 3, the latter part. It said, Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And I want to take a thought this morning on better to go back or go on. Better to go back or to go on. And we have a situation here in the book of Numbers. The children of Israel are on the edge of the promised land and are preparing to go in. But they want to see what they're getting into. So Moses sends out the 12 spies, in which all but Joshua and Caleb comes back with an evil report. You think about all that they've been through up to this point in their deliverance and the journey that they've already began to make. They've seen all kinds of miracles. They've seen water that's turned to blood. They've seen the frogs. They've seen the lice, the pestilence, the boils, the hailstorms. They've seen the locusts and the darkness. They've seen the death of the firstborn. They've been led by a cloud by day and a fire by night. The crossing of the Red Sea, where they seen the Egyptian soldiers that were drowned there. They've seen, had manna for food and quail for food. They've smitten, seen the rock smitten for water. They've seen Amalek defeated. They've seen the brazen serpent as it was held up on the pole. Hey, they've defeated Jericho, and they've come to this point and place in their time, in their life, when they have the ability and they can go right on over the Jordan River. They can conquer the land of Canaan there. And they've already seen all that God can do, and they ought to know what God will do. But yet we find them stagnant. We see them come to a place in their life, hey, where they've asked that question, said, were it not better for us to return into Egypt? So now we find out in the text here that the children of Israel are crying and wishing that they had died in Egypt or in the wilderness and are ready to return where they came from. And it's amazing to me this morning that we see people in the church that's just like that today. the comparison here, we see people that get saved. They get trust the Lord as their Savior. They get on fire. They get involved in the church work. Hey, we've seen preachers today that have fallen by the wayside. They just give up. They throw it in the towel. Hey, they went back to the world. Even in the days of Paul, the Bible tells us that Demas, having loved this present world, had turned his back and went back into the world. And we see that all the time. And it amazes us a lot of times to know and see the people that have experienced that in their life, yet they have the attitude that it's better back there than it is going forward. And I want to look at that thought this morning on better to go back or to go on. I want to go on this morning, don't you? Hey, I don't want to go back to that old life and that old life out there in the world where it seems like all the wickedness and the things are being portrayed. And people call that fun. The Bible says the ways of a transgressor are hard. And a lot of times people will say, well, the Christian life is just too hard. I'm going back. I don't want to go back. God did something for me back yonder as a 17-year-old boy. Hey, that He saved my soul, and I've not always been what I ought to be. Hey, but I don't want to go back to that life. I don't want to go back to living for the devil and the world and the flesh anymore. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 22, the Bible says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to wallowing in the mire. So why is it that some turn back this morning? Why is it that some go back to the world, to that old hog pen that they were in? Back to the vomit is the Bible uses an illustration that a dog would go back to. Well, let me say this morning, I believe that there's some that turn back because of a defective start. There's some that turn back because of a defective start. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such turn away. Hey, we're seeing a day that we're living in where there's a form of godliness all around us. There's churches that are claimed to be churches, the preachers of the gospel, hey, that are a little more than going through a ritual every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, or whenever they have service. Hey, they have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. Hey, we serve a God this morning that's all-powerful. Hey, we serve a God this morning that can change an individual's life from the moment, hey, that they trust Him as their Savior and they accept Him in the free pardon of sin. He can change their life that'll last. So we see some turn back because of defective start. Number one is because they were never saved. They were never saved. They went through the motions. They went through the ritual of coming down and praying a prayer and signing a card and being dunked into the water. And they think that they've been saved. They're going on an emotional experience. Hey, that never was anything took place. There was never a transaction in their heart. Hey, that changed their life, that changed their direction and put them on the right path. They were never saved. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Hey, there's a lot of people that can testify this morning, hey, that have went through the ritual of taking that pledge and saying that they were saved, that they trusted Christ as their Savior, hey, yet nothing never transpired in their life. They got a counterfeit. You do realize that everything that God does, that Satan has a counterfeit. Hey, there's a lot of someone said, hey, that the greatest evangelistic feel was in our Baptist churches across this land. And I know from my experience of myself, hey, I made a profession as a young lad of a boy, hey, that there never was a change in my life. And I went through all the ritual of going down to an altar. I got down there and I'm sure that I prayed. Hey, but I got up the same way that I went down and there was never a change in my heart. And we wonder sometimes why people don't make it. Well, they had a defective start. They never got saved. They never trusted Jesus as their Savior. Hey, the Holy Ghost wasn't working in their life. Hey, a God that can save a person can keep a person. A God that can save a person can change a person. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I like that word creature. He's a new creature. He's not that old creature that he was. When an individual gets saved, God does something in their heart, hey, that they can't never get away from. I believe that. I believe He can deliver the drunk from the alcohol. I believe in immediate deliverance in an individual's life. Hey, that if that individual is sincere, they trust Christ as their Savior, and they truly experience a born-again transaction that takes place in that individual's heart, I believe He can deliver them. He can deliver you from a cussing tongue. He can deliver you from a foul life, an immoral life. He can deliver you from anything. When God saves a man, He changes that individual. And some have a defective start. They've got a false hope. They went through the emotions. Some people are emotional, and God uses your emotions sometimes. I believe that. But this thing is not so much an emotion as it is a faith thing. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Some people have never been saved. Brother Darrell was telling this morning about he made a profession back yonder as a young boy. Was baptized or was dunked in the water. But his life never changed. And I believe Daryl, along with me this morning, could testify that after we got saved, hey, there was a peace that came into our heart, hey, that we've never gotten away from, even though we've done things that was contrary to the Word of God. Hey, we failed a lot of time, but we've kept on going. Hey, we've relied on Jesus. We trusted Him as our Savior back yonder. He's forgiven us of our sin. And there's that peace that we can't never get away from. I've doubted a few times. Those doubts didn't last like they used to doubt before I ever got saved. Hey, I used to wonder and hope and think that, you know, I went to the altar, I cried, and I made that profession. I was holding on to that false hope. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, there was something that happened in my heart as a 17-year-old boy. And even though that I've never been perfect, I want to be perfect, but I'll never be perfect till I get that glorified body. Hey, there was something that transpired in my life, hey, that changed my life. It changed my life. And if you're saved this morning, He's changed your life. Some people, they had a defective start. They've never been saved. They hold on to that hope that profession that they've made. And I've seen a lot of folks that's happened to, and we wonder, and we can't say, hey, but only they know. Only they know. Some turn back because of a defective start. They've never been saved. Hey, some turn back because they were never stabilized. They were never stabilized. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Hey, some turned back. Hey, but they had a defective start. Hey, and they were never stabilized. They were never established in the Word of God. Darrell's over there. Peter in that next chapter verses down below said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. I'm going to tell you, the only way you're going to ever get stabilized and established in your Christian walk is through the precious Word of God, hey, that we've been looking at in Psalms 119 about the Word, the testimonies, the statutes, the law of God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So how are you going to get stabilized? Through the Word of God. You're going to have to continue. You're going to have to get in the Bible. You're going to have to let this Bible get in you. You're going to have to let this Bible, as it has changed your life through trusting Christ as your Savior. Hey, you're going to get established the same way, by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hey, if you ain't around the Word of God, and if you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to never get established. That's why there's so many wishy-washy people in this world. Hey, that's why there's so many people that claim to be saved, and they don't want you to tell them what to do. They don't want the man of God to preach anything that's going to put some requirements in their life of how they're to live, how they're to walk, how they're to talk. They don't want to hear about separation and holy living and living modest in this world. That's why so many people get mad, is because they've never been established in the first principles of the faith. Yeah. Some people have a defective start. They've never been saved. Some people have never been stabilized. They've never been established in the things of God. And they're caught away with every wind of doctrine. They're following, hey, the whims of this life. The whims of the religious society that's around. Old-fashioned worship is a thing of the past in most places. I thank God, hey, that there are still some churches that are still holding on to old-fashioned worship, old-fashioned holiness, old-fashioned separation, that a person that's saved, hey, God changes their life, and when He calls them into the work of God and the things of God, hey, they changed their life. They changed their walk. They changed their talk. They changed the places that they go. They changed the people that they associate with. Now, we're to love the whole world, but we're not to be following the people of this world. Hey, you can't hang around with dogs and not get fleas on you. And you can't hang around with wicked people and that don't believe right, don't believe the book, and function as a Christian. Everything that has religion tagged on it is not right. And a lot of times when people are not established in the Word of God, hey, they get caught away with every wind of doctrine. That's why it's important to marry the right person as young people. That's why it's so important to go to the right church when you're young. Hey, the people that's been brought up in a church that preaches truth and goes off over yonder somewhere and yokes up with a church that don't preach truth, hey, there's something questionable about that individual. They're either not saved or they've never been established. They've never grown in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important where you go to church. You don't walk away from truth and go over yonder to some church that's got rock and roll bands and preaching out of another version of the Bible and telling you it's okay how you live. I heard a preacher preaching on casual church last night. No man. Most people are so casual about their church attendance and the way that they live their life. And the way they conduct themselves, that it's unreal. Church is casual. Church shouldn't be casual to us as believers, those that have been saved for any length of time. Hey, church should be important. Where you're at on Sunday morning should be important in your life. A person that's truly saved and established in the Word of God and in the spiritual thing, hey, they'll be in church this morning, somewhere, in a right church. A lot of people just go to church just to sort of appease their conscience, you know. They want to get lost in a crowd. They want to go where it's casual. Hey, I don't want to go to church and feel comfortable. I want to get real uncomfortable when the Word of God's preached and they're preaching against my sin. I ain't going to a church where they won't preach against my sin. And I don't want my kids going to a church where they won't preach on their sin. Where everything's just hunky-dory, we just all sing kumbaya and have a good time. Better to go back or to go on? Need to make up your mind this morning to go on. Hey, they began to look back at those leeks and garlics and things they had in Egypt. Hey, they seen all these miracles. Hey, I'd be a fool to go to some liberal church after I've seen the power of God work in a church and people get under conviction. Hey, I've seen some individuals that got saved. Hey, in ordinary situations, they'd have died, lived their life, and went to hell had it not been for the power of God, because they were hard cases. Have a defective start. Hey, if what happened to me over yonder on Washington Street on a Friday night with my brother and another young man, if that hadn't happened to me and I got in a situation I didn't have nowhere to go, I might have died in my sins. God got me through the providence of God. Hey, He got a preacher's boy. He got a preacher's boy in a fix where he didn't have no ride, didn't have nowhere to go, except church. And it just so happened they was having revival that week, Brother Chris. Hey, I was mean. I'll just admit, I was mean, I was rebellious. I had a rebellious spirit like a lot of church members have got. Because I was a church member. I was full of rebellion, I was full of stubbornness. But I'm going to tell you, because of the mercies of God, He protected me over there on Washington Street. He got me also in a condition where I didn't have no ride. It'd do some people to get in that condition they didn't have a ride. It'd do some people to get in a condition where they didn't have no money and they didn't have no way to do things. It'd be better than going to hell.
Yeah.
Some people have never been stabilized. They've been in church all their life, but they've heard the Word. But they don't have enough spiritual content in their life to know what's real and what's unreal. The devil's got a counterfeit. He's got counterfeit churches all across this country. It seems like they're preaching from the Bible, but they're not really preaching the Jesus of the Bible. They're not preaching the Jesus of the Bible, and they're so unspiritual. Hey, they think they're spiritual. They always won't tell what happened to them. But what's going on now? That's what I want to know. I'm glad you got a good testimony. Hey, but I want to know what's going on in your life now. Have you been established? Are you stabilized as a believer when every wind and doctrine comes your way, hey, that you're going to know? And some of it cuts pretty close and pretty tight. And if you're not pretty established and the Word of God, you'll get duped. Some people had a defective start. They've never been saved. They've never been stabilized. Where are you today? Someone may be watching by the way of the webcast this morning. You may think you just drifted in here accidentally. Hey, where are you at in your relationship with Jesus? Why ain't you in church if you're saved this morning? Are you sick? Are you unable to go? I believe people that's able to go to church and they're not sick, this morning they ought to be in the house of God. Somebody that belongs to a church and they ain't been there in 7 years, I'd check up and see where I was at in my relationship with Jesus. I'll go that step further. Somebody that ain't been in the house of God in 3 months, they need to check up and see where they are at. They're not established as they pretend to be sometimes. And I'm going to tell you, I just go a little further. Hey, I don't care how much people go to church. If they sit in church and they get mad at the preacher for preaching to their people, they need to check up. That's right. I don't give a rip who it is. I don't care how spiritual they may think that they are. Hey, there's something wrong. Hey, when people's in a Bible-believing, preaching church and someone's trying to reach their loved ones and they get mad. There's something wrong. They're either not stabilized or they're not saved. There's a lot of good people that's got a counterfeit this morning. They think they're okay. I hear of them all the time and I question, well, I wonder what sin they got into. Why didn't they make another profession? Maybe they wasn't saved. But maybe they got in sin. And I believe there's a lot of people that's got in sin, and when the man of God got up and he preached and he cut it pretty tight and pretty close, hey, they got under conviction. And to justify themselves, they make another profession. What God does, He does it forever. If they were saved, hey, it don't matter if they got in sin, they need to take 1 John 1:9 and confess it. They don't need to make another profession of faith to try to cover up their sin. Heard another preacher preach at that meeting up there, be sure your sins will find you out. Your hidden sins will find you out. You may think you'd be like Achan, think you got them covered up. Hey, but friend, I'm going to tell you, hey, be sure your sins will find you out. A lot of hidden sin in church today, ain't it? The sins of the heart are hidden. The sins of the mind. And those sins are just as bad and they need to be confessed. And I'm going to tell you, the devil's prince, fire of the air, and he's working on your mind. The war, the battle's in the mind today. There's so much corruption in this land today. You can't You can't sit down and watch television without seeing some kind of sin. The biggest sin, I think, is the promoting of alcohol and drinking. And then the next is immorality, homosexuality. They're trying to get you desensitized to the fact, hey, that homosexuality is wrong. Hey, the Bible says it's an abomination unto God. It was an abomination in Leviticus. It'll be an abomination when Jesus comes back. We need to get established in these facts that wrong is wrong. Hey, just because we're living in the day of grace, it don't give us a license to sin. It don't give us the liberty to offend those that are not saved through our licentious living. My, my. We're going to the judgment seat of Christ one of these days. We're going to stand before a holy God. I don't know where everything's going to go on at the judgment seat of Christ. Hey, but the Bible says in that, following that verse, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And it said, in that, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It ain't going to be no picnic at the judgment seat for none of us. For none of us. A lot of people get effective starts today. They make professions. They go down into that watery grave. They go down a dry center and come up a wet center. You better know that you know that you know that your sins are forgiven, that you're going to heaven. And if you know that your sins are forgiven, then you better start growing in grace. You better start finding out what you believe, why you believe it, and what God expects in your life. He expects you to be faithful. The Bible says, moreover, it's required of stewards. Not a choice, it's a requirement of stewards to be found faithful. How is it with you? Have you been saved? Do you know that you're saved? Are you established in work? Do you read your Bible? Do you love your Bible? We've been going through Psalms 119, and man, there's some great truths in there about the Word of God. And if you go home and you don't read your Bible from Sunday to Wednesday, you don't check up. We ought to love, not only love Jesus, but we ought to love His Word. He's exalted His Word even above His name. And that's the only way you're going to get established in the things of God, the spiritual things. Some people had a defective start. They were never saved. They were never established. They're never settled. They were never settled. There's a lot of people that are not settled today. They're not settled about this Bible. They're not settled about what they believe. Hey, they're not settled about what's the right kind of music. There is wrong kind of music. It's just as bad to sing a lie as it is to preach a lie. Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15 said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Some people turn back because of a defective start. They've never been saved. They've never stabilized. Hey, they've never been settled. They've never settled. Some people are not settled on the Bible, whether it is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. You know, I don't have to know all the details about why I believe my King James Bible is the Word of God. I'm settled on it. There's still some things that are amazing about that Bible that I know, and I told some young men, hey, you better know why you believe that Bible, because you're going to be challenged one of these days. Whether it's by a Jehovah's Witness, whether it's by some cult, hey, whether it's just by some atheist or lost person that don't know the Lord as their Savior, you're going to be challenged. You need to be settled on this Bible. What is the Word of God? We need to be settled about the things of God. about being faithful and about walking with the Lord on a regular basis. We need to be settled. We don't need to settle for less than truth. We need to be settled in the things of God, the effectiveness of salvation, what salvation can do, hey, what the Word of God can do in your life. Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1-2, said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why would He put a passage in there if our bodies weren't important in serving God? A lot of people just think it's just a spiritual thing, you know. Well, spiritually, we're a trichotomy. We're a body, soul, and spirit. And it's all included in serving God. I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You can't serve God without your body. And how you conduct yourself in your body will affect your relationship with Jesus. It matters how you clothe your body. It matters the things that you do in your body. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies. Your bodies. Your bodies, not your spirit. Your bodies are living sacrifice. Holy. Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable service. Hey, that Jesus died for us, we ought to die for Him. He goes on and said, be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How are you going to renew your mind? By getting it out of the trash and getting it into the book. This world wants to conform us to their image. Light exposes darkness. That's why they hate Christianity. That's why they hate the Bible. That's why they hate Jesus, because it exposes what they are. If you're hobnobbing in worldly places, then that's what you are. That's why when I went up to the Alphabet when it first opened up there at Gainesville, me and one of the little Oriental guys, we went in there to get lunch. It was packed. They said, well, you can sit at the bar and you can get your food a lot quicker. And I said, well, that'll be okay. So we sat at the bar. I got sitting around there. Man, I got looking around. I got smelling that alcohol. I could smell it. I've got a good nose on me. You ask my wife, I smell anything. I smell your fabric softener. If I get around and you got on that strong fabric softener, I can smell it. And I got smelling that alcohol. And I got under conviction. I got looking around. I was afraid somebody's going to see me sitting at that bar. And think I was in there for something other than eating, Brother Todd. I'm not sitting at no bar to eat my food. I don't even like to sit around the bar. And you know that they'll... We have to nearly tell them not to set us in the bar area. It's like they can pick us out. They'll take you, get you, and start carrying you in there, and here they go around toward the bar. We'd probably be better off, wouldn't even eat in them places where they serve the alcohol. But this world has got so... There's not many places that don't serve alcohol no more. Somebody said the Cracker Barrel was even serving alcohol. I don't know if that's true. Hey, I wouldn't work at a place that served alcohol. Hey, did you hear me? I said I wouldn't work at a place that served alcohol. Bible said, woe unto the man that puts the bottle to his neighbor and give him drink. A Christian young lady or a Christian young man has got no business carrying a beer and setting it down in front of somebody in a restaurant. A Christian ain't got no business putting alcoholic wine to their lips. And if you want to drink grape juice, that's fine. Non-fermented grape juice. But if you want to drink Blackberry Hill or something like that, that ain't right. Brother Sammy Adams said, a dram drinker is just as much kin to a drunk as them little piglets was to a sow hog. You got that? Them little piglets are that sow hog's children. So they're, by birth, they're kin to her. So a dram drinker, somebody that drank occasionally, is just as much kin to a drunk as those piglets are to that sow hog. Got it? So we got to be careful. I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, not put nothing in our body that Jesus wouldn't. Now, I know we take medications, prescription drugs and things like that. Hey, there's a lot of people that's got hooked on that prescription drug that ended up getting on them street drugs because they couldn't get them prescription drugs. I don't know how, for my life, I probably didn't take enough. Hey, but I don't know how anybody can get hooked on them oxycodone pills and them Percocets and things. You have to take other things to counteract that thing so you can function normally. Crazy, ain't it? What we get caught up in. Some people had a defective start. They were never saved. They were never established. They were never settled. Hey, I'm settled on some things. I don't want to quit. I don't want to go back. I don't want to look back. Some turn back because of a defective start, but then there's others that turn back because of a defeated attitude. A defeated attitude. Paul told them Galatians over there, and I'm going to run through these real quick. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you? He didn't say, what did hinder you? He said, who did hinder you? That ye should not obey the truth. So, we see some people have a defeated attitude because they compare with others. You can't never compare your life with others' life. There's somebody that's more spiritual than you are. Hey, there's some people that's more gifted than you are. Some people look at other people's churches and it defeats them because they don't have many in their church and they've got 100 or 200 or 1,000 in their church. They compare themselves. Maybe God don't want us to be in a big church. Maybe He wants us to be in a small church. Maybe it's our fault that we're in a small church. Maybe we're not doing what we should be doing. But we can't compare ourselves with others, hey, just because we think that's the natural way it should be. God has gifted some people. I can say I can't preach like so-and-so, and I can't. I listen to some of these guys, and man, they're just great preachers. I mean, it seems like everything comes out of their mouth, it seems like it just fits together. They can take illustrations and cause people to see themselves. Some you might say, I can't win souls like Bear Whatley does, and I can't. He was a great soul winner. God just gave him that gift, an old rough brick layer, hey, that didn't have no education, and he could witness to people, and he could turn the conversation around and win them to Jesus. Did all of them get saved? I don't know if they all got saved or not. Somebody said, I don't like the way they win souls. Well, I don't like the way we don't win souls. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 to 13 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. So Paul said it's not wise to compare ourselves one with another. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. So, comparing ourselves with others, looking at others, will do several things in your life. Number one, it'll take your eyes off of the Lord. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It can cause a proud heart. It can cause a proud heart. The Bible said, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, that thou dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as eagles, and thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. And it can also can lead to bad attitude and a bad spirit. And it'll always become a stumbling block, either to you or to someone else, when we compare ourselves with one another, with others. When we start, if you get to comparing yourself with somebody else, you may look pretty good sometimes. It'll cause you to be proud in your heart. But when you start comparing yourself with Jesus, we'll really see what we are. And it'll always become a stumbling block either to you or to someone else. I don't want to be a stumbling block to you. Some go back because of the defective start. Others go back because of defeated attitude. And then there's a lot of people that go back because of discouragement. We've all been discouraged. Do you ever get discouraged? Do you still get discouraged now? If you've been saved 15 years, you're still going to get discouraged every once in a while. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hey, there's a reaping day out yonder. Discouragement is one of the greatest enemies to a Christian that there is. Sometimes we just have to encourage ourselves in the Lord, like David did. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, the Bible said, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Sometimes we just have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Hey, sometimes we just got to look at some of those past experiences, what God has done for us, when those times of discouragement, when we just did not think we could go on no more. And I'm going to tell you, hey, other Christians will discourage you sometimes. But you can't let that hinder you from serving God. And we see a lot of times people just get discouraged because of little things and they throw in the towel and they quit. And they just go back. Notice, going back begins with tears and ends in tragedy. Notice verse 1 there in chapter 14 said, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. One got to crying and it affected the whole bunch. We find a lot of times that people go back on the Lord and they don't never get back. The Bible said Demas, having loved the present world, Saul went back on the Lord and he never got back. He died in battle. David went back on God. But he ended his life living for God. And then there's some people that's gone back and they've made a comeback. But some people never get back. I know some that's never got back. I know some that went back, they quit on God, and they're still out of the will of God today, or some of them's gone on to be with the Lord. Sometimes God cuts people short. I know several individuals, and I'm not passing judgment, but I know several people that probably could have been a tremendous in the work of God, and they went back on God, and they never got back, and they died out of the will of God. And they died early ages. Died early ages. And sometimes death comes naturally. John Mark, the Bible says, you know, he turned back when Paul and Barnabas went on that first missionary journey, and it got so hard that John Mark went back. And then the second missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas were going again, and Barnabas, well, he wanted to take John Mark with him, and Paul said no. He said, he done left us one night. We ain't carrying that boy. He's wishy-washy. But then later on, at the end of Paul's life, he told him and said, bring John Mark. He's profitable to me for the ministry. Hey, John Mark had a comeback. Can I say this? I've seen some people that's got in sin in their lives. They did the right thing. They confessed it. They forsook it. They've proven themselves. And they're serving God today. I know individuals like that. What God's forgiven, we better forgive. We better forgive. Because it's possible, hey, you just may be one service from being out of church. You may be one service from going back to where you were. We better be willing to forgive and forget and go on with our lives. John Mark, he made a comeback. Peter made a comeback. Peter denied the Lord just as Jesus told him, said, before the cock crows thrice, thou shalt deny me twice or thrice. Before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. I'll get it right in a minute. Peter had a comeback. Hey, after he warmed himself by the devil's fire, enemy's fire, and then after he cursed, then on the day of Pentecost, hey, I like that over where it said Peter stood up and 11 stood with him. He preached and there were 3,000 souls saved. Talk about a comeback, man. Talk about a comeback. And then Samson got in trouble. He was down at the mill grinding. They put his eyes out. He had time to think. He had time to repent. And that last time he killed more Philistines than he'd ever killed in his life when he leaned upon the post and pulled the post down upon that bunch of Philistines. But it also cost him his life. There's a lot of people that have turned back. But I'm going to tell you, there's no joy back there. There's no happiness back there. It's only misery. I believe, hey, the most miserable person in the world is an individual that's truly been saved, that's backslid on God. They're out of God's will. They're hateful. Their attitude stinks. And they're never satisfied with anything. I believe the Bible is very clear on its position concerning those that would go back to where they came from. It's compared to a dog going back to his vomit. You say that's disgusting, no more so than a Christian going back into the world and doing and living a worldly life. There's nothing that's more dishonoring to God. David, when he took Bathsheba, Nathan the prophet come to him and told him, said, the little story about the one rich man that had the one that took the one poor man's little ewe lamb and used it to feed his guests. David become wroth, and Nathan pointed his finger at him and said, David, thou art the man. And then he told him that God had forgiven him of sin, but that he had given great occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme. That's always stuck in my mind. You know, God forgave him. But David, because of his sin and with Bathsheba and putting Uriah to death, hey, it was known. It was known. And he said he gave great occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme. That's what we do when we turn our back on God and people know that we used to live for Jesus, but now we've walked away, now we're living a life of world. I've seen them. I've heard people say, hey, they got religion and they used to do this, but they don't do it no more. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Paul said, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't say he ain't going, hey, but says he ain't fit. The Bible very clearly states that it would have been better to have not known the way of truth, than to have known the truth and to return back to where you came from. This morning, it's important. It's important that we go on. It's God's people, that we don't turn back and go back. I don't want to quit, do you? Sometimes I get discouraged. Sometimes I get sort of down and out, but hey, I don't want to go back. I don't want to walk away from God. Cotton Harris said something to me one day. He come over to my house, parked in my shop yard, and was talking to me. And he said, when it got his time to go, and God was through with him, then it was time. It would be his time to go to heaven. I thought, what true words a man could say. You know, we get through with ourselves and we quit on God, it might get time, might get our life cut short. I think about that a lot of times. Well, if you quit, if you don't do this, if you don't go on with God, if you don't continue doing what He's called you to do, hey, He may cut your time short. But as long as you're doing what God wants us to do, and we're continuing on with God, hey, we're embracing the truths of God in our life and trying to make a difference, hey, He may give us some time to serve Him and to do what's right. Better to go back or go on.